Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, who art the source of all being and the fountain of all wisdom, guide us in these moments of worship and throughout this day, that our thoughts, words, and deeds may be acceptable unto thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's read responsively selection number 82. Thursday night at Richmond, Virginia, four graduates of this seminary with their wives were appointed for missionary service overseas. At the same time, Professor and Mrs. Eugene Owens were employed as missionary associates. Next summer, they will go to Switzerland, where Professor Owens will serve as a member of the faculty of the Baptist Seminary at Ruschlikon. Surrounded by colleagues and students who hold them in high regard, and in this chapel where the world vision of theological students is nurtured, we have asked Professor Owens to share with us the message he gave in Richmond last week. It is a pleasure to have in the congregation also his wife, Anne. And after Professor Owens has spoken, I hope that Anne will join us here for the hymn of dedication and for the dedicatory prayer. It has been my pleasure to know Professor Owens many years. And I now present him to you for a meaningful message for all of our hearts.
I have said in my classes, as some of you know, when the preacher says, "I just want to talk to you," that means he's unprepared. And this morning, "I just want to talk to you." I'm not unprepared, really. I think maybe a lifetime of preparation has gone into the few words which I shall say. You are now looking at a genuine, hand-carved Swiss missionary. My wife and I have been employed as missionary associates by the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And when I was a young boy, I had the same feeling toward missions as I guess all young boys have in Baptist churches in the South. It was highly adventurous and very romantic. These were the men and women who gave their last ounce of devotion and commitment. And I also wanted to be a foreign missionary. It had the appeal of serving in the foreign legion, somewhere on some unknown battlefield, dying unsung, that all the praise might belong to God. Well, we lose such romantic notions as we grow older. Our outlook on life becomes much more realistic. We have wives or husbands. We have children. They have to be supported. We believe the theology which we are learning, but after all, we have to make a living. We begin to recognize the names in the missionary stories of our friends, men and women with whom we were in school. We read about them in magazines. And in the world in which we live, sometimes I think we all wonder, why ought I not be there? Not because it's more difficult to be there. I confess to you frankly, it is a little difficult to suffer in Zurich, Switzerland, which is in many ways more modern than Raleigh or Durham, North Carolina. But there is an opportunity there which seemed I should attempt to meet. When I came to Southeastern Seminary, my outlook on missions reached a certain maturity here. Emotions which ran deep were combined with reason, and the decision that my family and I have made has been reached after months and months of thought. The reason which I found here on this campus, while undergirded with strong emotion, was that there are places of ministry for all of us. Some of them are overseas, and some of us must try to meet the need overseas. The invitation that I received from President John D.W. Watts to teach at the Baptist Theological Seminary in Ruschlikon, Switzerland, opened an entirely new channel for ministry for me. What I shall do will be very similar to what I have tried to do here at Southeastern. The location will be different. School is small, international in character, both of which appeal to me. Europe has experienced the disillusionment with much of the institutional expressions of Christian faith. There is possibly there the creative willingness to look for and to discover the valid forms of witness to faith in the 20th century. Plus the fact that we are going as missionary associates. This is a category for persons between 35 and 59 who are employed by the Foreign Mission Board to do a particular job for which they are uniquely qualified. This program is one of many ways in which the board is seeking to develop a more flexible approach to missionary outreach. Our term of appointment, for instance, is for 5 years. And I had all sorts of preconceived notions about the Foreign Mission Board, as many of you have. They were a highly fundamentalistic institutional group who did not know what was happening in the 20th century. They turned the lights down low and sang sentimental gospel songs at Ridgecrest and Glorietta just to get the emotional young people to come forward. And I'm not sure but what some of this is not still true. But I found in the leadership of the Foreign Mission Board and in the personnel there a certain commitment which shamed me often. I found with them that theology is not nearly so important as sometimes we think it is here. That a young man and his wife who were taking 4 children to Malaysia did not really want to argue theology with a seminary professor. I think I discovered how monastic life on a seminary campus can become, need not become, but can become. And I think I was indicted by the fact that I have not often shared my own pilgrimage of faith with my students in a way that I should have. And I think I realized that my students have not always demanded that I share my pilgrimage of faith. I think you were more interested in the material, reading the books, and answering the questions on the tests, so that both of us were guilty in not realizing that it was a pilgrimage on which we were engaged, that indeed this seminary is a community of faith and of learning. Well, I think when we talk about the will of God, it is possible to be very romantic about this concept. You notice I haven't mentioned this. I'm not really sure what the will of God is for my life, but I think it's a little romantic in the same sense that a person who says, I married the one girl in all the world for me. Well, had you lived in Nigeria, that might be a bit different, or Malaysia, or England, or even had you been born in California. But that one person whom you married has been joined to you as one, and you have found the purposes of God being realized in your joint life. Well, I think the will of God is a little like that for me. It's an open willingness to face the future, to listen to all the opportunities that present themselves to a person, to examine his qualifications, to see whether or not he has the necessary qualifications to invest to meet the need. As I tried to say in the appointment service at Richmond, at this stage in my own Christian pilgrimage, Christian faith is best expressed in terms of receptivity. Therefore, for me, the good news of God is not what I am doing for him, but what he has and is doing for me in Jesus Christ. The gospel has set me free from all attempts at self-salvation and has enabled me to receive the free grace of God as the gift that it is. I have tried to say in my classes, I think the gospel is not being preached today. Men are being exhorted to support the institution, but I think the gospel sets one free to receive the grace of God as a gift. This has not been an easy stage of Christian growth. There are still temptations to identify selfish plans with God's purpose, temptations to mold a God so small that I can control him, temptations to forget that God's ways are not my ways and his thoughts are not my thoughts. There are still temptations for me to limit the activity of God to those things about which I know the most, limit God to those people I like, or limit God to those doctrines with which I am most familiar and with which I agree. I pay special tribute today to those persons in my background who helped me to find an honest faith, to those persons who helped me to be sure that my heart meant what my mouth was saying, to those persons who helped me to know the difference between a faith that is memorized and a faith that is lived, to laymen, non-professional religionists, who showed me such honest faith, who didn't get paid to give their testimonies, but who in Sunday school classes and in informal and sketchy conversations bore witness to what God was doing in their lives, who in their prayers and in their general devotion shared with me their concept of God. The pastors, three pastors in particular, whom I remember especially, who walked beside a young boy who was beginning a long journey, who were not far up the road beckoning to me, but who were beside me, who didn't know all the answers and who frankly admitted it in worship service, but they knew why they were on pilgrimage. Teachers. The teachers in this institution, the teachers in my graduate school, who in Christian patience and with genuine love and concern for students opened books and ideas to me that I had never known in all my life. And to students, and to my own students who were honest enough to share their own pilgrimages, and to students who have often shamed me by their sincere commitments to Jesus Christ, and to parents whose willingness to encourage and to support me have never once wavered, who have denied themselves, and who will witness in me and my family as they always have, and to my wife and my own family. To my wife especially, whose unquestioning willingness to accept me for what I am has been a source of inspiration to me. As an alumnus of this institution, I shall follow the progress which this school makes with genuine interest. And as a professor, there is hardly any possible way for my students here to know the joy and the fulfillment that I have derived from my association with them. Whatever ministry there is in life for me or for you, and you are already aware, it is hard to share your personal faith. But for whatever ministry there is in life for me, it will be undergirded by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, who has made me and is making me into a new creature to render service and praise to Him wherever and however He sees fit. Amen.
We shall cherish the memory of these words. It is not my intention to embarrass you, Anne, but I should like very much, if you will, to come to the platform and stand with us here for the hymn of dedication and for a brief prayer of dedication at this time. It is my understanding that Anne, as well as her husband, spoke with great insight at Richmond last Thursday night, and we are honored to have her join us in these moments of dedication today.